All right, today will be our last Sunday in Matthew, as we've been going through Matthew, chapter 7, 8, and 9. Today we are in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. If you'd like to follow along in the pew Bible, I'll be reading out of one of the Bibles from the pew, so you can follow right along easily. We are on page 790. It's page 790, which is Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. In our passage today, we have a deceptively simple set of verses. But this reflects all of our Christian faith and how deceptively simple it can be sometimes. So I was going around visiting this week. I went with one of our men of God here from the church, and we were visiting with a woman and discussing with her how deceptively simple God's requirements are for us. We frequently wish that they were more complicated, that there was a checklist we could do to make sure that we were right with God. We frequently wish if I could just check off that got baptized, done, took communion, done, you know, didn't murder anyone, done, I'm in. You know, we would love for there to be a checklist, some box and list of things that we could do to make ourselves saved, to be able to point at some external list and say, whoa. I'm good. I've already taken care of this stuff. I can do what I want now. We would like that. And yet faith for all of us is deceptively simple. That God's requirement for us to have our salvation and the forgiveness of sins is to believe. We are called to believe. So today we have a deceptively simple calling. Or the other way, it bothers us that it's so simple, but that's what it is. It's as simple as follow me is the commandment that Matthew receives today from Jesus Christ. Let's look together at verse 9. Pray with me. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word worship to you. Father, put your spirit on us to teach us something new about you. This I pray in your name. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 9 of the Gospel of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he met a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners." This is our passage for today. It's so simple. You might wish it were more complicated than that, but the call for Matthew is the same call for you. That is, Jesus reaches out to us and says, "Follow me." The call for any believer is to follow Jesus. First of all, let's take note, though, of who Jesus actually goes about calling here. It's not just anyone. It's Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew's a sinner here. Matthew's doing what is evil, and nobody likes him. Matthew is working for the Roman government over his people, the nation of Israel, that are enslaved by the Roman government. And the Roman government comes in and puts tax collectors over the people, who are from the people, to extort taxes out of them. Part and parcel with this practice is that Matthew is collecting extra for himself. How do you go about making a living as a tax collector? You charge him extra and keep the rest. I mean, that's normal practice. That's what is expected here. But so Matthew, being Jewish, is working for the occupying army to collect taxes from his own people. How do you think people feel about this guy? Yeah, he's not well-liked. Matthew doesn't just have some sin in his life. He is participating in a sinful, evil empire. He's not just partaking in some sin. He is the proprietor of sin. He creates it. It would be as if the sin here was alcoholism. It's not just that he's an alcoholic. It's that he owns the liquor store. He owns them all. He's in the industry. He's working not just as a sinner, but in a sinful place in industry. He's not just a person who struggles with lust. He is the proprietor of the pornography industry. Matthew is not just a sinner here. He is in the middle of the whole industry of sin, and he is doing awful. He is a sinner of sinners, Matthew here. He is not a good guy. And yet, Jesus comes to him to say, Matthew, follow me. This is huge for any of us who have just been wild, unrepentant sinners at some point in our life. We get around to thinking sometimes, you and I, that what Jesus really wants is the good ones, right? The people who Jesus is actually going to call to follow after him are just those people who were doing all right beforehand, who are living generally pretty good, right? He's not going to call the crazy sinners. He's not going to call the people who have done what we think of as proper sin, right? He's just going to go after the ones who are already doing okay. He's going to collect the righteous of the righteous, the best of the best, and that's who he's going to bring on board on his team. So we can get to thinking for ourselves that we're just out of luck because I've been doing some real sin in my life. The answer is, it's not true. Jesus here, very specifically, goes to some of the worst sinners and says to them, without hesitation or qualification, come follow me. It's incredible the kind of people that Jesus is letting in. It's you and I, is it not? It's incredible the kind of people who Jesus is willing to call to follow after him, but it is all people. No matter how bad the sins are in your life, no matter what you've done in your past, Jesus has called you to follow after him. Jesus wants you to be a part of his kingdom and his family. Jesus wants you, as Scripture says, Jesus wants to adopt you. He wants to make you a part of his family. Yes, even you. Such is the love of God that it extends out to all of us. I've known plenty of people who have doubted their salvation over time. I talk to people regularly who come up and say, you just don't know though. But you don't know what I've been into in my life. Some people will say, I believe everything Jesus says. I know that he loves me as much as Scripture says he loves me. I know he's called me to follow after. But I just think I'm going to hell. I'm just such a sinner. There's no chance God can actually accept me. To which all I can respond is, yeah, me too. I mean, obviously, yes, I too am a sinner. And people are always surprised. I thought everybody else sitting around me were these super righteous folk that were doing all right and didn't struggle with sin anymore. You mean I'm not alone? No. Jesus says in this passage, I came not for the righteous, not for the healthy, I came for the sick. So in order to be following after Christ, you've got to have been a person who admitted that you're sick with sin. So look around you. You're in good company. You're not the only one who said, I'm vile. I'm sick with sin and I need Christ's healing. You always have these people come up and say, I just don't know, though. I feel so guilty. I struggle. Because it's not like it is with you. I struggle every day over guilt and whether or not I can have faith. To which I say, yeah, me too. That's all of us. It is a daily battle to believe again and to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. It doesn't just get easy for some people. We all struggle. We all have to work at trusting in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Talk to people who said, yeah, but you don't know, my faith is so weak that if they found Jesus' bones in a grave over there and they could prove by his DNA that that was him and he didn't rise again, I would go right now and live like a wild sinner. To which I say, yeah, me too. Right? That's what Scripture teaches us. Paul says, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we're foolish. He said, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we should be considered fools among all men. But the truth of the matter is, he did. I know, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's our God. Through him, all things were created. He wasn't created. He always was. All things that exist were created through him, for him, and by him, Scripture says. And that God, so loving the world, so seeing us in a broken, sinful state, Jesus came down and took on flesh, our God, walked on earth with us. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins that we could ever do. All the sins of all people paid for by Jesus Christ, who, living perfect, still went to die like a sinner. He paid for all of them on our behalf. And he died the death of a sinner. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, Jesus rose again from the grave, walked around with his disciples for a certain amount of time, ate meals with them, returned to heaven, saying to them, "Let everyone know. Go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to be obedient to everything I commanded, because I'm going to come back." And he sends the Holy Spirit on. I believe all of this just as surely as I believe and know that I had an Egg McMuffin for breakfast. I mean, it's just true. It happened. For all who believe, there is assurance of salvation. If you are one who struggles constantly with doubting your salvation, with doubting that God has cared about you as much as he has, a lot of times what we're struggling over is thinking that our salvation is somehow incumbent on ourselves, that we had to do something right to get this salvation, and we need to do something right to keep this salvation. But it's not true. How do we, as Christians, deal with assurance? We have the assurance of our salvation because the assurance of our salvation is placed on Jesus Christ, not on us. See, we know that we'll be saved if he's trustworthy, because he said, anyone who comes to him, he will not reject. And do you believe it or don't you? Jesus has said, anyone who comes after me, I will not reject. So the call goes out to you, just like it did to Matthew, to follow him. If you never have before, Jesus is saying to you today, come follow me. Come leave everything behind. Join into my kingdom. Come be a part of what I'm doing. And we have our assurance in salvation, not knowing, not thinking, well, wait, did I follow him well enough? Or do I have enough faith to warrant me getting in or not? We have all of our assurance because we know that Jesus Christ is truthful. Our assurance rests on him, not on us. How do we know we are saved? Because we've believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All of our assurance is wrapped up in him doing exactly what he said he was going to do. You know, this was a big issue in the English Reformation. The English Reformation's right in the 1530s. King Henry VIII, he wants a male heir. There's a lot of wives that come in quick succession. You might know this story. But there's also a religious Reformation that's going on at the same time. All of these are really spiritual issues and religious issues that are coming up. The Bible has been translated into English for the first time, and it's being disseminated amongst the people in England. And I was reading this week a Catholic scholar, a modern Catholic scholar, who's criticizing the English Reformation. His criticism was, all those good Catholic people in England, they had all the assurance they need. They were doing just fine. They were perfectly happy to go to church on the feast days, to take First Communion, to be baptized as infants, to know that they were going to heaven, or at least they were going to go to purgatory and get to work off their sins so they could eventually go. They had all the assurance they needed. And what you replaced it with was this odd Calvinistic faith where now everybody has to be looking all the time, hoping they can find their assurance, because some people are predestined for heaven and some people are predestined for hell, and you don't know if you're one of the predestined ones. So this Catholic writer says, shame on them in their Reformation. They were doing just fine with their assurance of salvation. The trouble with this is that taking communion, having been sprinkled as an infant, provides no assurance of salvation. As Scripture teaches, all that provides assurance of salvation is believing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and choosing to follow after him with your life. And then our salvation is in Christ. Even if you, like the thief on the cross, made a choice to believe in Jesus Christ today, to follow him with your life, but didn't make it to the baptistry before you passed away, you, like the thief on the cross, would be in heaven with Christ. Because it's not a sacrament, it's not a function that gets you saved, it is faith itself in his glorious graces that brings about salvation for all of us. The call from Jesus Christ today is that you be saved. The English Reformation guys, for their part, failed on the other hand, thinking with enlightenment minds that you were either predestined for heaven or predestined for hell, and so it's okay that everybody believes in Jesus Christ, but you got to figure out and find out somehow, you know, have some religious experience to decide if you're on the in crowd or if you were born destined for hell. This too is foolishness. We know that the truth is Jesus Christ loves you dearly. You don't need to be sitting thinking, I'm just a sinner. I'm just destined for hell. Jesus calls you, just like he called Matthew the worst of them, and he calls you today to believe. The call is to follow Jesus Christ, and you know with certainty that anyone who answers that call and follows after Christ will find their salvation in him. Anyone. If Matthew can, you can. If St. Paul can, you can. The call from Scripture today is to follow Jesus. It wasn't unique to Matthew. It goes out to anyone who hears the gospel. Believe, and now leave behind whatever's in your life that's sinful and follow after him. And you're going to find the joy of your life. You're going to find assurance for your salvation. You're going to find the forgiveness of your sins. You're going to find hope and joy following after Jesus Christ. And no matter how hard this life gets, you will find eternal life in him and with him. The passage then here, after Jesus calls Matthew, and Matthew very clearly leaves everything behind to follow him. There, verse 9, it says, Jesus says, follow me. And Matthew, he got up and followed him. That's salvation right there. Matthew goes, okay, Jesus, I'm in. I will follow you. The whole scene turns to a dinner party now. Look at verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they ate with him and with his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with sinners and tax collectors? What's the first thing Matthew does after starting to follow Jesus? Matthew invites Jesus over for dinner, and then he invites everybody he knows over so that they can hear Jesus too. I mean, it is literally the first thing that Matthew does in following after Jesus is to say, hey, come eat with me. Hold on, I got to invite the neighborhood. And then he invites everybody around him, all his friends who are sinners and tax collectors and evil, invites them into the house so that they can hear from Jesus too, so that they too can be called to follow after Jesus Christ. The command for us today from Scripture is to follow Jesus. And I say to you today, follow Jesus in calling other people to follow Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, what do? I mean, exactly what Jesus does here, which is to go out and command other people to follow him. And that's what Matthew does rightly. He doesn't just get up and walk after Jesus. He's physically following him around. But he also does exactly what Jesus does in inviting all these sinners over so that they can hear from Jesus just like he did. Perhaps you are new to faith. Perhaps you have just begun following God rightly in your life. Perhaps you're just hearing this gospel for the first time. Perhaps you were stray from faith for a long time, but now are coming to follow Jesus again. I want you to notice something about Matthew's life that's true about yours too. When you first come to trust Christ, that moment, that time in your life when you first come to believe in Jesus Christ, you know at that moment more sinners than you will at any other point in your life. At that time, you know the most crazy, wild, lost people, especially if you're coming out of that life, than you will ever again. I mean, it's good and right that as you grow in faith, after a certain number of ice cream socials, you've grown into a new set of friends. You gather together with the saints. You're together with the rest of the congregation. You have these friends that are encouraging you to follow after Christ. If you're new to faith, one of the first things that you need are some friends around you to help you follow after Christ. And so it makes all the sense in the world that after time, all of your best friends, people you know, are good Christian folk. But here, first, for the first time, right there, you know more sinners than you ever will again. Because you've been living amongst them. You've been working amongst them. These are your friends, your buddies, and you go about doing things with them. A lot of times, when you've just begun believing and just begun following Christ, you think, I really love my brother. I really love my dad. I really love my buddy that I work with. And I want them to know what I know about Jesus, but I'm going to have to learn some things first. We can frequently, I mean, you're not the only person. Lots of us have thought this over time. I want good for them too. I know God's doing good things in my life. I can feel it. I love it. I know the Holy Spirit's on me, working in me, and I want it for them too, but I don't exactly know what to say, and so I got to go work out in my mind. I need to go study Scripture more before I can go talk to them about what Jesus wants for their life. It's just not true. Look, Matthew here immediately starts calling other people to come around and hear from Jesus, and you can too. You don't need to learn anything else. You don't need to go through a course. You can now invite everybody else you know. You in having experienced Christ and following after him, have everything you need to know to call somebody else to do the same thing. Your simple testimony of, listen, I don't know much, but I was an awful sinner, and Jesus has done something in my life, and he's changing me and my family, and I'm not perfect yet, but I'm headed there, and I want it for you too. Why don't you come along with me? You've got all the tools you need right from the moment you choose to follow after Christ to help anyone else to come and follow after Christ, and you have the most opportunity right then. So don't delay. Don't hesitate. In fact, we have a good-sized group of people who have freed up space in here so you can call any friend around you, any family member around you to say, come and sit with me. We've made space for you. Come in here. Because I'm listening to Scripture and it's changing my life, and what Jesus is doing in my life is changing everything for us. And why don't you come too and see if you can't benefit from Christ as well? Why don't you come too and see if you can't find forgiveness of your sins in Jesus? I bet you can. Dare them. I bet you won't. You know, dare them. Use that line. Bet you won't do it. Call them to come and follow after Christ. You longtime believer, you who are no longer in the workforce, or tell you what, a great way to meet other Christians and to get to know, or meet other people who need to know Christ is to have young children, right? Is to have children who are playing in games or in school and sports. I mean all kinds of people, having all kinds of fun being able to invite them. But you longtime believer who don't have that avenue in your life anymore, who are thinking, and it's like all of us, everyone starts to think this quickly, I don't know anybody else. Who else can I call to follow after Christ? Who else do I know? First, pray about this. Pray the simple prayer, God, bring somebody into my life that I can tell about you. God will answer that prayer for you. He always does if you're bold enough to pray it. Here, I'll dare you. Bet you won't. Pray, Father, bring somebody in my life that I can talk to about you and invite to come worship with me. God will bring them into your life. After all, what Jesus says is that the fields are white with harvest. Forget about the reputation you thought. The historic reputation of South Carolina being this godly place where there's Baptist churches on every corner. There are, in fact, churches on every corner and side street and everywhere else. But there are so many more people who need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord. There's so many more people who are just dying in their sins right now. If somebody would simply go and tell them, then they could come and trust him as well. Pray this prayer. I provide you with one caution here. Some people will, having heard this passage, think, I've got to go get back together with my old party buddies then and be around some of these sinner folk so that I can bring them to Christ and tell them about Jesus. So I'm going to, honey, I'm going out with the boys after work, but don't worry, this time, now it's not to do crazy stuff. Now it's to help them come to Jesus. And this would be a little foolish on your part. I just want to caution you. Jesus, though he is here with sinners, though he has these Pharisees, these religious leaders who are calling him out and saying, why is Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors? This isn't some kind of crazy sinful party they're at. They're just gathered up for dinner together. Jesus is never out there with these people in the midst of their sin. And neither should you be. You, especially, who might fall to temptation, who might fall back into an old lifestyle. We don't use an excuse, I need to go back and be around them in our crazy party ways in order to reach them. No. Rather, invite them over to your safe environment, dinner. You know about the safest place you can go in the world? Cracker Barrel. You know, go have some breakfast. Who doesn't like Cracker Barrel? You're wrong if you don't like Cracker Barrel. Go there. Eat together. You don't want to be around them in their sin or be with them in their sin because you put yourself in a position where you might sin, but you do want to go out and be amongst these people. The passage ends this way in verse 11 with these Pharisees, that is, these religious leaders, these guys who think of themselves as the most righteous, though they are also sinners like everyone else. These Pharisees say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners? Why would Jesus gather up these awful nobodies to him? Why would the God who created the universe, the righteous Lord of everything, surround himself with Matthew, the same guy who writes this gospel? Who's an awful tax collector? Who's working in the awful industry? Why would God surround himself with him and all his sinner friends? Such is the love of God. Jesus' answer is this. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Hey, good news for you here today who are under conviction. Good news for you here today who knows you're not all right. Good news for anyone who feels sick with sin. Anyone who knows that they're an awful sinner. Jesus isn't out to destroy your life. Jesus is out to show mercy on you. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's not out that your life should be put on an altar, that you should suffer for all your sins. He's not out to bring condemnation on your life. Rather, Jesus is out to pour mercy out on you. Amen. Know this, Jesus has come for the sinners. Jesus has come for sick. So if that's how you've identified yourself up until now, good news, Jesus has come for you. And He wants to save you today. What do you have to do to receive the salvation from Christ? You simply have to answer the call, follow me. Today, I call you to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Find your forgiveness, find your assurance, find your joy and your hope and your eternal life all in Jesus Christ as your Lord. Follow Him. Let's pray. Father God, oh, what a delight it is to be called. What a delight it is to simply have to trust You. What a delight it is for us that all of our assurance is in Your hands and not ours because we would mess it up. Oh, what a delight it is to follow after You. Father God, I pray that You'd put Your Spirit on us today to help us to trust You all the more. Father God, put Your Spirit on us today that we could follow after You rightly, that we could sing to You now as a saved people, not as sinners, but ones who are forgiven. As You have called everyone who trusts in You a saint, I pray that we could sing to You now in our true identity as the saints of Jesus Christ. This I pray in Your name. Amen.